10 lawmakers say they won't aid Republicans in taking control of Alaska's narrowly divided House of Representatives. The GOP holds a 14-member block, but 21 votes are needed to control the chamber. The 10 House members are mostly Democrats, two moderate Republicans, and an independent from mostly coastal, rural districts. With more conservative constituencies, they were seen as the most likely to caucus with Republicans. One of those was Representative Dan Ortiz, from an independent from Ketchikan. He says Friday's letter takes that off the table.
We felt it was important to let folks know that there weren't going to be any small group breakoffs or anything like that.
The letter argues for a bipartisan coalition committed to a balanced budget and protecting the permanent fund and annual dividend check. Representative Louis Stutes is a Kodiak lawmaker and one of three Republicans that caucused with Democrats and independents last year. She said since the election, she and others have been clear they aren't interested in a Republican-led caucus.
Just somehow the message didn't get through. So we thought that by putting it clearly in writing, that they would understand that we, in fact, are not going to be joining their caucus, but we are hopeful that we can get reasonable people together in the form of a coalition to work for the good of the state.
The joint letter adds to increasing uncertainty over how the House lawmakers will be organized when the legislative session begins on January 15th. Yesterday's judicial hearing for the lawsuit contesting the ballot recount for Alaska's House District 1 lasted 6.5 hours. Judge Eric Arseth was appointed to be a special master to review the case filed by Democrat Catherine Dodge after a November 30th recount put her Republican opponent, Bart Laban, ahead by one vote. As KUAC's Robin reports, at least one ballot was cast by voters who did not live in the district. But the judge ruled that was unknown by the Division of Elections at the time.
Arseth heard arguments picking through 9 challenged ballots, 3 from Dodge, 5 from Laban, and 1 from both of them. That one had both ovals filled in for the House District 1 race, but also an X on the oval for Bart Laban. The Dodge campaign said it should count as the voter rejecting Laban. But lawyer Stacy Stone, representing Bart Laban, says her side thought it should count as a valid voting mark for Laban.
The recommendation from Judge Arseth was not to count that ballot.
The Laban side argued 3 ballots with odd markings should count for him, but were thrown out as invalid. Stone says they also asked for 2 absentee ballots from the same address to be counted.
We assume they're a husband and wife, we're not sure, but one voter had the other voter's voter identification and vice versa.
The Dodge side challenged a question ballot from a voter whose address changed when he registered for the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend last year. He showed up to vote in District 1, but was not on the roster, so he voted a questioned ballot, in this case, for Catherine Dodge. Arseth said he would recommend the Supreme Court not count that ballot.
Through his PFD applications, pursuant to the law, registered himself for a district other than District 1, and that he was limited to vote in that district.
From the Dodge side, they challenged 2 absentee ballots from a woman who listed her address in an auto glass repair shop and a doctor with an address at an office. The doctor provided an affidavit saying he lives part-time in California and part-time in another Fairbanks political district. But Arseth said the doctor's testimony was gathered after the recount, and his status could not have been known by the Division of Elections.
It is a notarized affidavit. I made a ruling on the authenticity of it. The affidavit is clear in terms of I'm not a resident of District 1, and he should not have voted in the District 1 election. But those are the imperfections that are in our statutory scheme for elections.
Dodge's attorney, Patrick Munson, was on the phone and double-checked with the judge about the voter's status.
If the affidavit is considered, then you would find that he was not a resident for the 30 days leading up to the election as a fact matter. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate.
Okay, thank you.
Arseth said the 2 absentee ballots, both which were for Laban, should be counted. Arseth will release his written report today, recommending all the rulings by the Division of Elections be upheld by the Alaska Supreme Court. If they do, the vote count will remain the same, with Bart Laban the winner by 1 vote. The Supreme Court hears arguments in the case January 4th. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Look around Christmas tree lots in town, and you'll likely spot trees once rooted in the lower 48. The trees are shipped up by the thousands during the holiday season. Varieties like Douglas fir can have a hard time growing in the state. But there is at least one place to buy non-native species growing in Alaska. As part of Coast Alaska's series, Alaska Made, Elizabeth Jenkins has the story.
Todd Dorman moved to Kodiak in the 1970s after his family bought a cattle ranch. But his father dreamed of starting another venture.
He looked around and saw the native trees around here, and he said, I think this would be a good place to grow Christmas trees, or they would grow here anyhow, he thought.
Dorman's dad held on to the idea. He saw a niche for a Christmas tree farm, which is an unusual sight in Kodiak and really most of the state. Many of the favorite commercial decorative species don't grow naturally this far north. It's outside their typical range. Of course, native trees like Sitka spruce are just fine for decking the halls. But the needles can shed quickly, and the spindly branches aren't to everyone's liking. So in 2006, Dorman and his dad decided to embark on their long-talked-about experiment. They bought 500 small fir, pine, and spruce trees from a nursery down south. And Dorman says they tried to manage expectations.
The typical way that a farmer does something, you know, it's just kind of, let's see what happens type thing. So we just ordered some trees and worked up some ground and planted them out there, and we saw what happened.
In the summer, the little trees looked like they were flourishing in the Kodiak soil.
But after the first winter, it just looked like a desert. I mean, it didn't look like anything was alive. So it wasn't very encouraging at all.
The climate in Alaska is warming twice as fast as the rest of the U.S. Tree species that were once thought to thrive in lower latitudes are starting to migrate farther north. But Dorman says the weather in Kodiak has felt unpredictable. His dad didn't lose hope after that first harsh winter, when the little trees resembled little more than twigs sticking out of the ground.
Out of all these bad trees, you know, he'd find one that looked good and say, hey, but look at this.
And that optimism paid off. Dorman says it wasn't a total wipeout. Most of the trees survived. The next year, the family planted 1,000 more trees, and the following year, even more. Dorman's father died about 4 years ago, but he was alive to see the tree farm make its first sale in 2012.
And I remember the very first one that we sold, and of course I had been looking at this thing for like seven years, I think. So when somebody came along and wanted to buy it, I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to cut this thing off. You know, I was a little freaked out.
Dorman remembers it was a standout Fraser fir, noticeably the most beautiful one on the farm. It quickly caught the attention of a father and son who borrowed a saw to cut it down. Dorman says it's hard to describe the feeling of letting that first tree go.
It didn't take long for me to get over it, but I was thinking, okay, well, this is the point, you know.
He hoped more trees would grow as lush and sturdy as that one, and they have. There's now 2.5 acres of Christmas trees on the Dorman farm. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
This is the Anchorage band String of Lights with their tune, Rusted Tracks. The three-piece stopped by KTOO during the Alaska Folk Festival to perform a red carpet concert. The song is from their 2016 album, Migration. The song was recorded in collaboration with Justin Smith of Rusty Recordings in Gustavus as part of our red carpet concert series, an ongoing music video project by KTOO Public Media. Bad me.